إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a strain. And every strain is in the hellfire. Tonight's lecture, inshallah ta'ala, let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it. We begin with the word sunnah. It's an Arabic word and it has a few meanings to it. And when we say let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it, we're meaning a particular meaning of these meanings of the word sunnah. In the Arabic language, the word sunnah, it means a way or a path, any way or any path. Just as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows us this word used in one of his hadith alayhi salatu wasalam, collected by Imam Muslim, من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة فله أجرها وأجر من عمل بها بعده من غير أن ينقص من أجورهم شيء ومن سن في الإسلام سنة سيئة كان عليه وزرها ووزر من عمل بها من بعده من غير أن ينقص من أوزارهم شيء. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he uses the word sunnah in this hadith in the linguistical sense, meaning any way or any method. As he says alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever establishes in Islam a good sunnah, then he will get the reward of it, of that good sunnah, and the reward of whoever works by that good sunnah after him. And those people who practiced it after him, their reward won't be decreased in any. Just because he's getting the reward, they're still going to get the reward themselves for practicing it. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever establishes a bad sunnah in Islam, then he will get the punishment, or he will have the burden of establishing that bad sunnah, and he will get the burden of the people who come after him for practicing that bad sunnah, and their sins won't be decreased in any because of him carrying the first sin. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith shows us the word sunnah, meaning any way. Whoever establishes a good way in Islam, then he will get the reward of it. And here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the point of clarification of the hadith, he's meaning whoever establishes a way that has been prescribed in Islam already. As we know, to give the example of this hadith, the companions were walking past a group of Muslims who were extremely poor. So one of the companions said, let me gather some money from all of the brothers and go give it to them. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quoted this hadith. Giving sadaqah is a part of this deen. Yarhamukallah. Giving sadaqah is a part of this deen. But he wanted a new way of one person going to a group of people and getting the money and then bringing it back. This is a sunnah, hasana inshaAllah ta'ala, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had explained. And as we're doing right now with this lecture, let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it from the sweaters and the jackets that were selling these as a fundraiser in order to gather some money to build a masjid for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're using our way to encourage the people to spend their money fi sabilillah in order to build a masjid for the sake of Allah. And we hope that it's a sunnah hasana inshaAllah ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he also uses this word sunnah, meaning a way or a path, in his hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, لَتَتَّبِعَنَّ سَنَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرًا أَوْ ذِرَاعًا بِذِرَاعٍ حَتَّى لَوْ سَلَكُوا جُحْرَ ضَبٍّ لَسَلَكْتُمُوهُ قَالُوا الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَ قَالَ فَمَنْ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will indeed follow the ways of the people who came before you in an exactly identical manner. So much so that if they walked into a lizard's hole, you would have went into it like them. They said, you mean the Jews and the Christians? Ya Rasulallah. And he said, who else if it's not them? So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he's just using, you will follow the ways of the people before you. You will follow the sunnah of the people who came before you. And here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is using the word sunnah in its linguistical sense. And we're not using the word when we say let the sunnah go forth, to let any way go forth. We're not using it as that meaning. Also among the meanings of the word sunnah is that which has been narrated on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his statements or his actions or his tacit approvals or his description, whether in his character or in his creation. This is considered the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his statements, his actions, his tacit approvals, his characteristics from his creation or from his character. Also from the meanings of the word sunnah is that which is commonly used by us when we refer to the word sunnah, that which has been established in this deen that is recommended and not compulsory. That which has been established from this deen as being recommended and not compulsory. As we say, to make two raka'at before Salatul Al-Fajr is sunnah. Or to make two raka'at after Salatul Isha is sunnah. Meaning it's recommended in Islam. Or to use the miswak is sunnah. Because it's recommended in Islam. And this is a meaning from the meanings of the word sunnah. Also from the meaning of the word sunnah is the aqidah, or the belief of the Muslims. As many of the ulama, they've written their books of sunnah, like Imam Ahmed, Imam Ahlul Sunnah, he wrote a book called Usulul Sunnah, meaning the basic beliefs of the Muslim. So the word sunnah has the meaning of the belief of the Muslim, the word sunnah. And the word sunnah, it also has the meaning, and this is the meaning, inshaAllah ta'ala, that we're using, let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it, as being opposed to al-bid'ah. The word sunnah as being opposed to the word bid'ah. And the ulama, they used to give an example, like they say, so-and-so is from Ahlus Sunnah. Or that so-and-so follows the sunnah. Or that so-and-so is on the sunnah. They mean that what he does is in accordance with this deen. That what he does is in accordance with his deen, as opposed to that which has been invented by all of the deviant groups who have invented into Islam that which isn't from it. So when we say let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it, let that which has been prescribed by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the deen of al-Islam, let it go forth and don't stop it. When we say don't stop it, we actually mean don't oppose it with your own opinions. As Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu has said, دعوا السنة تمضي ولا تعرضوا لها بالرأي. Let leave the sunnah alone, let it go forth, and don't oppose it with your own opinions. This deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect and is complete, and we don't want to be among the Muslims who invent something in Islam in order to oppose the sunnah by following our own desires. And following our own desires is the biggest way to oppose the sunnah. The Muslims who follow their own desire, this is the biggest way that the Muslims oppose the sunnah. And we're advising ourselves and the believers to stop opposing the sunnah with their desires, with their own opinions, with the way that they feel. But to let the sunnah go forth, to practice it in their lives, to believe it in their hearts, and to call the people to the sunnah. And this is what we mean when we're saying let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it. We're telling the people of their desires, don't oppose the sunnah with your desires. Don't oppose the sunnah with your opinions. Don't oppose the sunnah with the way you feel. Let the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam go forth and don't oppose it with your own desires. This word desires or opinion or the way that you feel, the ulama of Islam, they have said that this means to follow whatever pleases you. To follow whatever pleases you that has not been established by this deen. To follow whatever pleases you and it's not established in this deen. Meaning there's no basis in the Quran, in the sunnah from it. You just feel good to do such and such. It feels good for me to do it, so I'm going to do it. And this is the case of the of that which is over with, inshallah ta'ala, from Masjid al-Dirar, that it just felt so good. It seemed so right. We just loved it, so we did it. There's no basis in Islam to establish Masjid al-Dirar, and the people established it following their own desires against that which has been established in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This following of our own desires. And the Arabic word for it is the hawa. The hawa. And we need to get familiar with this word hawa so that we don't follow our own hawa and go astray like the people have gone astray. And one of the biggest reasons for the deviant sects to be established and for the Muslims to go astray is that they follow their hawa, as opposed to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They left the Sunnah and they followed their hawa. And many of the ulama, because of this deviance from the straight path and establishing deviant sects, the ulama from the Salaf al-Salih, they used to use the word Ahlul Ahwa to those people who have gone astray from the deviant sects. And Ahlul Ahwa are the people who follow their own desires. Ahlul Ahwa are the people who follow their own desires, and the ulama, they use this in their books to refer to the people who have gone astray, to the people who have divided themselves up into deviant groups. The ulama have combined all of them into one group called Ahlul Ahwa. Ahlul Ahwa, the people who follow their own desires. And this following of your own desires is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us. He's commanded us to follow the sunnah and to leave alone our own desires, as He tells us in Surah An-Najm about the people who have gone astray. إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَمَا تَهْوَى الْأَنفُسُ وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُم مِّن رَّبِّهِمُ الْهُدَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they follow their own speculation or their own opinions, their dhann, and that which their desires want. And indeed, it has come to them from their Lord Huda, or guidance. So they followed their hawa, and they left the Huda, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is speaking about them, and He's showing us the opposite of following the huda or the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to follow our hawa or our own desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with this point in Surah Al-Qasas in verse number 50, as He says, فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكَ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ وَمَنْ أَضَلَّ مِمَّنِ اتَّبْعَ هَوَاهُ بِغَيْرِ هُدَى مِنَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if they do not answer your call, if they do not answer your call, and that call is let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it. If they do not answer your call, then know that indeed they only follow their own desires. They only follow their own hawa or ahwa, which is the plural. They follow their own ahwa. And who is more astray than the one who follows his hawa, his own desires, instead of guidance from Allah? Indeed, Allah does not guide those wrongdoers. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's telling us that the people who do not answer the call of following the sunnah and letting the sunnah go forth and being upon the people, ahlu sunnah, following the sunnah, being on the people of the sunnah, if they don't answer that call, then know that they are the people who follow their own ahwa. And who is more astray than the people who follow their own ahwa? And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it clear to us that once people have been called to the sunnah and they think that a tariqah sufiya is better than the sunnah, then let them have that way. If they think that a deviant cult is better than the sunnah, then let them have that way. If they think that following a crazy imam is okay, then let them have that way and know that they're only following their ahwa, and they're leaving the huda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَىٰ أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Do you see the one who has taken his own hawa, his own desires as his God? Are you going to be a guardian over that person? Are we going to be a guardian over the person we have called to the sunnah, to the deen of al-Islam, from among the Muslims, and he doesn't follow the sunnah? You say, Akhi, follow the sunnah, let the sunnah go forth. And he says, no, it's okay to be in the group that I'm in. It's okay to be upon the deviance that I'm upon. And we're still fooling ourselves saying, no, I'm going to guide him. Are you going to be a guardian for the one who has taken his own desires as his Lord? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the other verse, in Surah Al-Jathiyah, similar to this verse, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ وَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصْرِهِ غِشَاوَةً فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you see the one who has taken his own hawa, his own desires as his God, and Allah has led him astray on knowledge, led him astray by knowledge? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has led him astray by the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had of the qadr, that this person would be among the people who would go astray, or the knowledge of this deen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala led him astray by the knowledge of this deen, gave him this knowledge, showed him the path, and then he followed his own desires instead of following the knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah sealed his hearing and his heart and put a veil over his eyes. And who is the one to guide him after Allah? Won't you be mindful? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us to be mindful that once we've called the people to the sunnah and they don't follow it, it's it, case closed. Are you going to guide them after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has led them astray? Is there anything more truthful than the sunnah? Why do we have to beg the people to practice the sunnah? Do you have to beg someone to follow the truth? Ya akhi, please practice the sunnah. The sunnah is the truth. We can't guide someone after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has led them astray. After Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has showed us that the sunnah is the truth, if someone doesn't want to follow it, then that's for him. Because you can't guide someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has led him astray. And this just reminds us of the statement of the ulama that the sunnah is like Noah's ark. Whoever boards it is saved and whoever doesn't is destroyed. This is the sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us to it and guided us to it. And if we follow it, we'll be saved. And if we don't, we'll be destroyed. And all of the Muslims, they have a chance to ride aboard the sunnah and to let the sunnah go forth. And if they do, they'll be saved. And if they don't, then they'll be destroyed. And can you save someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destroyed? And if we look at the story of Nuh alayhi salam, as he wanted to save his own children, as they thought, Nuh, I'll get on top of this mountain. And nowadays the people are saying, Nuh, I'll be in group such and such. I'm going to follow Imam such and such. I'm going to be on Madhab so and so, as if this is going to save him. Is nothing going to save us except being on the sunnah? And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the people of the sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to follow this deen and not to follow our own desires, because they will lead us astray, as he tells us in Surah Al-Jathiyah, verse number 18, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاكَ عَلَى شَرِيعَةٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ فَاتَّبِعْهَا وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then we put you, and he's talking to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then his followers that come after him alayhi salatu wa salam, and we have put you on the sharia from our command. And the sharia is just another word for the deen, or another word for the sunnah. As Imam al-Ajurri, who died in the 4th century, he named his book on the aqidah of the Muslims as sharia, referring to the sunnah that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam left for the believers. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has told us that He's put His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those with Him on the sharia, on this deen of Islam, so follow it. And don't follow the desires of those people who have no knowledge. Don't follow the desires of the people who have no knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they will lead you astray. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He tells us in Surah An-Nisa, prohibiting us from following our own desires as opposed to the sunnah, وَفَلَا تَتَّبِعُ الْهَوَى, and do not follow your own desires. And do not follow your own desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prohibiting us from following our own desires. Because if we can hold back our desires and don't follow our own desires and let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it, then we will be entered into Jannah. This is the way to Jannah, by not following our desires, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nazi'at, verse number 40 and 41, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for the one who fears standing before his Lord on Yawm al-Qiyamah, on Yawm al-Deen, the one who fears standing before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and has prohibited himself from following his desire, then indeed Jannah is the abode of this person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear to us, if we want to be entered into his Jannah, that we have to stop following our own desires and to follow the sunnah, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Islam. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala showed us, if we didn't take this advice of holding back our own desires and following the sunnah, that we will go astray just like everyone else who follows their own desires. Allah tells us in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 119, وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا لِيُضِلُّونَ بِأَهْوَائِهِمْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. And indeed, many, many of the people have gone astray from following their own desires without any ilm, without any knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have gone astray. You'll be destroyed if you follow your own desires. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith of Al-Bazzar, which is authentic inshaAllah, وَثَلَاثٌ مُهْلِكَاتٌ هَوَى مُتَّبِعٌ وَشُحٌ مُطَاعٌ وَعِجَابُ الْمَرْءِ بِنَفْسِهِ. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and this was one of the khutbahs in this masjid, there are three things that will destroy you. There are three things that will destroy you: following your own desires, as the first one, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, mentioned, and then being extremely stingy and greedy at the same time, and then being conceited, a person being amazed at his own self. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, told us that these three things will destroy us. And the main one that he's mentioning alayhi salatu wasalam, or the first one, is following your own desires. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to seek refuge in Allah from following his own desires. As he used to say alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min munkarati al-akhlaqi wal-a'mali wal-ahwa. And in another narration, wal-adwa. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in this hadith of Imam al-Tirmidhi, says, O Allah, indeed I seek refuge in you. I seek your protection from bad character and bad deeds and bad desires, and following bad desires. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam used to seek refuge in Allah from following the desires. And the other narration, evil diseases. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to seek refuge in Allah from following his desires, and we need to seek refuge in Allah from following our desires. Because in America they taught us from we were babies to follow our own desires. Whatever pleases you, do it. The sky is the limit. Whatever you like, you can have. And America is the land of following your own desires. Anything you want, you can have it. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us Jannah if we follow the Sunnah. And we leave off our own desires. And we have to stay away from following our own desires, because they will lead us astray. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has told us. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says in the authentic hadith collected by Ibn Abi Asim, إِنَّ مِمَّا أَخْشَى عليكم بعدي بطونكم وفروجكم ومضلاتي الأهواء. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this authentic hadith collected by Ibn Abi Asim in his book called As-Sunnah, and this book is in two volumes, As-Sunnah by Ibn Abi Asim, he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, indeed, that which I fear for you after me is your stomachs and your private parts, and deviant desires. So the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to prohibit us from following our own desires. And we're saying that following our own desires is one of the biggest ways to sidetrack us from being on the Sunnah. And that's by following our own desires instead of following the guidance of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه يسأل ما فرحت بشيء من الإسلام أشد فرحا بأن قلبي لم يدخله شيء من هذه الأهواء. عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه يسأل that I have not been happier with anything in Islam like the happiness that my heart didn't have any of the أهواء enter into it. So here, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's saying that he's so happy after his Islam from not having the desires enter into his heart. Just as some of the ulama, they used to say, I don't know what is Allah's biggest favor to me, guiding me to Islam or saving me from my own desires. And he was referring to the desires of the deviant Muslims, as they've taken their own desires instead of the Sunnah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, أنتم في زمان يقود الحق الهوى وسيأتي زمان يقود الهوى الحق فنعوذ بالله من ذلك الزمان. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the companion of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that you, and he's referring to the people that he's talking to, you are in a time where the truth controls the desires. But there will come a time when the desires will control the truth, and we seek refuge in Allah from that time. How can we know it's no Ameen? It's no Ameen. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have created us to hear Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu say it, we could have said Ameen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them from it. But Allah has tested us with it. We're in the times where the desires control the truth. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ And all we can do is ask Allah to save us from being among those people. But we see, all of us see, how the desires control the truth. So much so that people don't even want to listen to the arguments of the truth. All they want to say is, I'm satisfied with such and such. And this was the case of many of the people who have followed the deviance of Masjid al-Dirar. We had our lecture against that with the truth of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam publicly. And no one came forth to make any statement. No one. Not from the people of knowledge or otherwise. All that they did was talk in their own circles. And some of them when we caught them and cornered them and said, what is your case? They had nothing to say except, I like it. Did you listen to the truth? No. This is the time that we live in when their own desires control the truth. They're going to base what's in their hearts. Wallahi, I think it's a good thing. Are you going to be against a good thing? Who told you it was good? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, or your desires, it just felt so good. Nasallahu al-afiyah. Muhammad ibn Sirin, he said, and we'll make this the last statement inshaAllah ta'ala on this point of following your own desires and being the biggest enemy to the sunnah. He says, and he's from among the tabi'un, he says, لَوْ خَرَجَ الدَّجَّالَ لَرَأَيْتَ أَنَّهُ سَيَتَّبِعُهُ أَهْلُ الْأَهْوَىٰ He said, if you saw the Dajjal come, if the Dajjal came, you would see that the people who follow him will be Ahlul Ahwa. The people who follow their own desires. You will see them that this is the people that they follow. Just like, I forgot what companion he said, that the first deviant people that began to deviate from the Sunnah, he saw them fight along with the Khawarij against the Sunnah. That the people who do wrong, the people who follow their own desires, you see them always in corruption. Just like we were mentioning the other day, the example of when the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam read Surah An-Najm publicly to the people. And he read the last ayah which has a sajda in it. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam made sajda. All of humanity and all of the jinn made sajda along with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam except one man. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the narrator of the hadith, and it's in Sahih Bukhari, he said, and I saw that man and he died as a kafir later on. Those people who follow their own desires, instead of following the sunnah, you always see them in deviance. You always see them wrong. You always see them criminal for leaving off the sunnah. When you call the people to the sunnah and they don't follow it, just look at them. Just watch how they continue to go in corruption. Just as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغُ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ When they deviated, Allah deviated their hearts even more. When they deviated, Allah deviated their hearts even more. And this, inshaAllah ta'ala, should discourage us from the question, I told a brother such and such from a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did it and he didn't accept it. What should I do next? You should leave him alone. There's nothing else to do. Nobody is a guardian over anybody. You bring the sunnah to the people. Whoever wants to accept it is for his benefit, and whoever doesn't is for his own destruction. Also, unfortunately, among the big things that stands in the way of letting the sunnah go forth is nationalism. As we heard last Friday night, I think it was. This nationalism, it won't let the sunnah go forth. It's an opposition to the sunnah. But the sunnah is going to go forth even if the people hate it. The sunnah is going to go forth even if the deviant Muslims hate it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam in the hadith of Abu Dawood al-Tayalisi has commanded us to know our lineage. has commanded us to know our lineage, not to be nationalistic, but to be as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has advised us, as we'll see. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, اعرفوا أنسابكم تصلوا أرحامكم فإنه لا قرب بالرحم إذا قطعت وإن كانت قريبة ولا بعد بها إذا وصلت غسلت إذا كانت بعيدة. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, in this authentic hadith, he says, I command you to know your lineage. And this is what we heard last week from the opposition of the sunnah. Know your lineage, but it was taken out of context to be nationalistic. Know your lineage so that you can keep family ties. This is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands us. Know your lineage so you can keep family ties. Because indeed there is no closeness to your family if you cut off family ties, no matter how close you are. And there's no farness from your family, from keeping family ties, if you keep family ties, no matter how far they are. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us, even if it's your mother, if you don't keep family ties with your mother, no matter how close she is to you, because she's your mother, that there's no closeness because you didn't keep any family ties. And the same thing if someone is your ninth cousin, your cousin's cousin, 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 something's child, mother, grandfather, whatever. No matter how far they're away from you, if you keep good family ties, that they'll be close to you, even though they're far from you. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he commanded us to know our lineage for this purpose. Not that someone is better than the next person, because of his lineage goes back to Africa, and his lineage goes back to Europe, that because it goes back to Africa, he's better than the one who goes back to Europe. And people, though they don't have the courage, and this is what the ulama of the Salaf, they used to say about the people of deviance, that they're cowards, that they want to oppose Islam, but they don't have the courage to stand up and say, I oppose Islam. So what they do is they attack the people of Islam, or the principles of Islam, because they can't stand up and say, I'm opposed to Islam, because Islam will crush them right on the spot if he says it. So they just play their games around it. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us, Ya ayyuha an-nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu, inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum, inna Allaha alimun khabir. O humanity, indeed I have created you from a male and a female, and made you into nations and tribes, so that you may know one another. Indeed, the most noble in the sight of Allah is the one with the most taqwa. Indeed, Allah is alimun khabir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes it clear for us that he has only made us in nations and tribes so that we can know one another. But the best one from all of these nations and these tribes is the one that has the most taqwa. They're the ones who are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and most noble in His sight, the ones who have taqwa, fear of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And taqwa is doing what Allah has commanded and staying away from what He has prohibited. This is taqwa Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith of Al-Bazzar, كُلُّكُمْ بَنُوا آدَمْ وَآدَمْ خُلِقَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all of you are from the children of Adam. And Adam is created from dirt. All of you. Every human being is from Adam, and Adam is from dirt. To show that nobody's better than anybody, because everybody has the same lineage, if you keep on going back, everyone's going back to Adam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everyone is going to go back to Adam, alayhi salatu wa sallam. As if somebody created, his lineage doesn't go all the way back to Adam. Everyone goes back to Adam. And I wanted to say, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save me from following my desires, I wanted to say that all of the people who believe in Darwin's theory, then they go back to apes, because this is their mentality. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showed us that everyone is the children of Adam, and Adam is created from dirt. And some of those people on Yawm al-Qiyamah, because they believe in Darwin's theory, they're going to wish they were from dirt, and that they won't be held accountable, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. And the kafir will say, if only I was created from dirt. If only I was dirt, not created from dirt like Adam. If only I was dirt, so that on he wouldn't be held accountable for his kufr on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to die as Muslims. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith of Tabarani, and it's authentic, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ وَاحِدٌ وَإِنَّ أَبَاكُمْ وَاحِدٌ وَإِنَّ دِينَكُمْ وَاحِدٌ فَلَا فَضْلَ لِعَرَبِيٍّ عَلَىٰ أَعْجَمِيٍّ وَلَا أَحْمَرَ عَلَىٰ أَسْوَدٍ إِلَّا بِالتَّقْوَىٰ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, indeed your Lord is one, and your Father is one, and your Deen is one, and there's no virtue to an Arab over a non-Arab, nor to a red man over a black man, except by taqwa. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he let us know that our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is one Lord. Everyone has the same Lord, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that our Father is one Father, and he's Adam, Abu al-Bashar, the Father of humanity, alayhi salatu wa salam. And indeed your deen is wahid, it's the tawheed, or the establishment of La ilaha illallah, and there's no virtue to one person over another except by taqwa. Except that he obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he stays away from disobedience to Allah. And it's not upon someone to think that, yeah, I'm better than them. Not just because, astaghfirullah, not just because I have African lineage, but I practice Islam better than them. Don't you see what's going on in their countries, akhi? As if he didn't hear Allah say, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. And don't sanctify yourselves. Allah knows best who fears Him. Allah knows best who has taqwa. No one should be looking at, oh, I'm better than that brother. Look at him. When I look at him, I can tell I practice Islam better than him. Allah knows best who fears Him. And no one should think that he has more taqwa than the next man, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best who really has the taqwa. And Allah is putting us in place so that we don't think that we're better than anyone. And this thinking that somebody is better than the next person, this is in opposition to the sunnah. Because the sunnah is the only thing that has united humanity together, without nationalism, without racism. And no other system, no other way could be this way except the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of us, what we've witnessed on Hajj, is there anyone, any way in this world that can bring the people together like that except the sunnah? This deen is the truth. And no one should think that he's better than anyone. And no one should hint at someone being better than another one, as this is in opposition to the sunnah. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the narration of Imam al-Bayhaqi, and it's authentic, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ وَاحِدٌ أَلَا لَا فَضْلَ لِعَرَبِيٍّ عَلَى عَجَمِيٍّ وَلَا لِعَجَمِيٍّ عَلَى عَرَبِيٍّ وَلَا لِأَحْمَرَ عَلَى أَسْوَدٍ وَلَا لِأَسْوَدَ عَلَى أَحْمَرٍ إِلَّا بِالتَّقْوَى إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O humanity, indeed your Lord is one, and there is no virtue to an Arab over a non-Arab, or a non-Arab over an Arab, or a red or a white man over a black man, or a black man over a white man, except by taqwa. And then he read the ayah, indeed the most noble in the sight of Allah is the one that has the most taqwa. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is putting this nationalism, this racism, out of the picture in this deen, because it's in opposition to the sunnah. And wallahi, the sunnah is being opposed from going forth, from the people breaking off into their groups, because they think that my people is better than his people. And people are just continuing to encourage this, as we heard in the lecture last week. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow the people to see the truth as being the truth, and the falsehood as being falsehood, and to stay away from the falsehood. The Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام said to Abu Dharr رضي الله عنه, انظر فإنك لست بخير من أحمر ولا أسود إلا أن تفضل إلا أن تفضله بتقوى إلا أن تفضلك بتقوى أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم in the narration of Imam Ahmad, where the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said to Abu Dharr, look, indeed you are not better than a red man or a black man except that Allah blesses you with taqwa. Nobody is better than anyone except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person with taqwa. And that this racism and this nationalism has no place in Islam. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the narration of Imam al-Tabari, An-nasu li Adam wa Hawa katadfi sa' lam yamla lam لَمْ يَمْلَأْ لَمْ يَمْلَأْهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسُؤْلَكُمْ عَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ عَنْ أَحْسَابَكُمْ وَلَا أَنْسَابَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, humanity is from Adam and Eve, Adam and Hawa. And then the Prophet ﷺ says a word, and I forgot the meaning. كَطَقْتِ الصَّاعِ لَمْ يَمْلَأْهُ. I don't know if any brother memorizes this hadith and its meaning. And then the Messenger of Allah, عليه الصلاة والسلام, he went on to say, indeed Allah will not question you about or your lineage on يوم القيامة. Indeed the most noble in the sight of Allah is the أَتْقَاكُمْ. Why is someone continuing to remind us your lineage is from barley? And Bally's was Muslims, and the Williams was Muslims, and the Chavises were Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't going to ask you, were you from the Williams or the Bally's? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't going to ask us, were you from the wealthy, were you from the people of status, were you known in the community for 20 years or not? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't going to ask the people, were you known in the community for 20 years? Indeed, the most noble in the sight of Allah is the one with the most taqwa. And we need to stop, Jazakallah khair, we need to stop thinking that there's something that we have other than taqwallah that's going to make us better than someone. And no one knows who's better than the next person until Yawm al-Qiyamah. When we see who gets the highest place in Jannah, that's going to be the best one. What difference if the people know you in the community for 20 years and you go to the hellfire? What difference if your descendants is the Williams and you go to the hellfire? Just as the brothers were saying. Do we have to go and remind all of the Williams, Akhi, you really a Muslim? Y'all walking around going to church every Sunday, you really a Muslim, you belong in the masjid. Subhanallah al-Azim. Allah is not going to ask us about this on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Just as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the next narration, from Imam al-Tabari, وَإِنَّمَا أَنْتُمْ وَلَدُ آدَمْ لَيْسَ لِأَحَدٍ عَلَى أَحَدٍ فَضْلٍ إِلَّا بِدِينٍ أَوْ بِعَمَلٍ صَالِحٍ حَسْبُ الرَّجُلِ أَنْ يَكُونَ فَاحِشًا بَذِيًّا بَخِيلًا جَبَّانًا. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you all are only from Adam. And there is no virtue to anyone over another one except by the deen, except by righteous deeds. And it's sufficient for a man to be disgusting and shameless and to be filthy in his speech and to be stingy and greedy and a coward to think that he's better than the next person because of his lineage or because of his status. Because of what city he lives in, or what block he lives on, or what house he lives on, to think that he's better than someone, it's sufficient for that person to be shameless and disgusting, with a filthy mouth, stingy and greedy, and a coward. Nobody is better than anyone except by the deen and by righteous deeds. By the deen, by the sunnah, and by righteous deeds. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he tells us, من خرج من خرج من الطاعة وفارق الجماعة ومات مات ميتة جاهلية ومن قاتل تحت راية عمية أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم يغضب لعصبة أو يدعو إلى عصبة أو ينصر عصبة قتل فقتله جاهلية فقتلته جاهلية وفي رواية فليس من أمتي. And this is collected by Imam Muslim رحمه الله. Where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, whoever stops being obedient, meaning obedient to the leadership, and he leaves the jama'ah, and he dies in that state, then he dies like the death of jahiliyyah. Then he dies like the death of jahiliyyah. And whoever fights under the banner of nationalism, or the banner of anything other than Islam, for his people, for his nation, for his block, for his whatever. Whoever fights for this and gets angry because of the people in it, meaning if something is against his people, he feels it. Like the mushrik felt for the mushrik man march. It's my people. And he felt the anger. And he's calling to it, come with us. And he helps them. And he's killed. He dies the death of jahiliyyah. And in another narration, he is not from my ummah. Here's the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. He's making it clear. These people who are fighting under the banner of nationalism, under the banner of shirk, under the banner of my people, my community, my, whoever gets angry for this, whoever gets angry for his people, whoever gets angry for his community, and he calls the people to rally up for his people, for his community, for his whatever, and he helps them, because they're his people, because they're on his block, because they're part of his community, and he dies in that state, then he dies the death of jahiliyyah. One of the narrations, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he is not from my ummah. How can people continue to call us to this and we're happy? Wallahi, we should walk out on someone who calls us to this foolishness. And people are continuing to call to this foolishness. And I know of it myself, unfortunately, and we ask the people to come back down to the truth from the people who have been tested with this. When I gave a khutbah at one of the masjids where this foolishness was stemming from, and I'm not saying it comes from the leadership of that masjid, but from the people who promoted in that masjid or center or whatever they call it, the people, when I gave the khutbah, they said, we're happy. Finally, one of us is giving the khutbah. And we hope that you become the imam, because we want one of us in charge. Suppose the people die on that. Suppose the people die on that us, we, talking about the black stuff. Suppose you die on that deviance. You're going to be destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us from this racism and from this nationalism, and has called us to follow the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This is what we have been called to follow, and we need to let the sunnah go forth and don't oppose it. Not with our own desires, and not with this foolish nationalism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the people and the colors and the languages and the sizes that He has created as a sign for humanity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the lineage that He has given us so that we can keep family ties. And this is obedience to Allah and to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Some of the ulama of Islam, they make some nice statements concerning the sunnah. And we'll end our talk off, inshallah ta'ala, with their statements. As Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, اتصاد في سنة خير من اجتهاد في خلاف سنة. He says, to make it sufficient, or to might have lost my word on this. hold yourself down to economize, I don't know. Anyway, to hold yourself fast to the sunnah by not doing too much work. I don't know how to phrase this. if you're only going to do a little bit of practice, then make that little bit of practice on the sunnah. And that little bit of practice on the sunnah is better than a whole bunch of work in opposition to the sunnah. اقتصاد في سنة خير من اجتهاد في خلاف سنة. Some of the brothers who have been tested with, and they're still around, and we hear their statements often, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free my ears from listening to that foolishness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free the ears of the believers from having to hear this foolishness. That's all you do? Akhi, we need to do more. So the people say, if the people of knowledge don't go out and do more, we're going to go out and do more our own selves. And we see the more that the people... It's better than all of that hard work that they do for their deviance. So no one should feel at a loss so long as he is on the sunnah. No one should ever feel at a loss so long as he is on the sunnah. Because it's better than all of their hard work and deviance. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, النظر إلى الرجل من أهل السنة يدعو إليها وينهى عن البدعة عبادة. الله أكبر. He said to look at a man. Listen to the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنه. To look at a man from أهل السنة who is calling to the sunnah and prohibiting the بدعة is عبادة, is worship. Just to look at the man on the sunnah calling to the sunnah and prohibiting from the bid'ah is worship. Worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just to look at the man of the sunnah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us the people of the sunnah. Inshallah, so that we can look at one another and to increase our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what I found some of the ulama overseas, alhamdulillah, when we met them and they saw us. And even one of them came to America in Brooklyn and he met us, and they all used to say, you're from America? I love to see the people of the sunnah wherever I go. We love to see the people of the sunnah wherever we go. And this is the statement of the ulama, that they're just so happy to look at the people of the sunnah. They didn't ask us, how much do you know? What did you do? They just looked at us and said, I like the way the people of the sunnah look. I like to look at the people of the sunnah. And the people who were with us in New York, when the ulama had come, they were happy just to see the alim who was just happy just to be with the brothers just because they were on the sunnah. We didn't know anything. We went to gain the knowledge from the sheikh, and he was just happy to be with us. We were happy to be with him, but he was happy to be with us, because this is the happiness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the people of the sunnah, that they can just look at one another. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our eyesight in looking at the people on the sunnah. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he also said, Wallahi, ma azunnu ala wajhi al-ardi al-yawm أحد أحب إلى الشيطان هلاك مني قيل ولما قال إنه ليحدث البدعة في مشرق أو مغرب فيحملها الرجل إلي فإذا انتهت إلي قمعتها بالسنة فترد إليه كما أخرجها. الله أكبر. Ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said, I swear by Allah that there's no one on the face of the earth more beloved to the shaitan to be destroyed than I am. They said, why? He said, because when a bid'ah is invented, either in the east or the west, that person will bring that bid'ah back to me. And then I will destroy it with the sunnah. And then it will go back to shaitan where it came from. This is the power of the sunnah. Walhamdulillah. Yunus ibn Ubayd rahimahullah, he said, لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَغْرَبُ مِنَ السُنَّةِ وَأَغْرَبُ مِنْهَا مَنْ لَا يَعْرِفُهَا. Yunus ibn Ubayd, he said, there is nothing more stranger than the sunnah. And there is nothing more stranger than that or there is something that is more stranger than that, is that the people don't know it. And there's something even more stranger than that. There's nothing more stranger than the sunnah. And nothing more stranger than that, than the people not knowing it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the ghuraba. Ayyub, rahimahullah, he says, إِنِّي أُخْبِرَ بِمَوْتِ الرَّجُلِ مِنْ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ فَكَأَنِّي أَفْقَدُ بَعْضُ أَعْضَائِي. Ayyub, as-Sakhtiyani, rahimahullah, he says, indeed, whenever I am informed of the death of a man from the people of the sunnah, then it feels as if I lost one of my organs, one of my body parts, for the loss of a person of the sunnah. He also says, rahimahullah, إِنَّ مِنْ سَعَادَةِ الْحَدَثِ وَالْأَعْجَمِ أَنْ يُوَفِّقَهُمَ اللَّهُ لِلْعَالِمِ بِالسُّنَّةِ. He also says, indeed, from the happiness of a new shahada, from the happiness of a person who just embraces Islam, and from a non-Arab Muslim, is to be blessed by Allah to have a scholar of the sunnah around him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with that. Ibn Shawdhab, rahimahullah, he says, أول نعمة الله على الشاب إذا نسك أن يؤاخى صاحب السنة يحمله عليها. He says, the first blessing that Allah gives a young person when he starts off to worship Allah is to be blessed to have a brother who is his companion that will carry him on the sunnah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make each and every one of us a brother to his brother, to carry him along on the sunnah. We'll make this the last statement, inshallah ta'ala. No, we'll keep going, inshallah. Imam al-Awza'i, rahimahullah, he says, نَدُورُ مَعَ السُنَّةِ حَيْثُمَا دَارَتْ. Imam al-Awza'i, rahimahullah, he says, we hang out with the sunnah wherever it is. We hang out with the sunnah wherever it is. Wherever we're seen with the sunnah. So what do you think about a person who says, I'm from the sunnah, and you always seen with the people of bid'ah? The ulama, they say he wants to make the truth and falsehood one. He wants to make the truth and falsehood one. And can you make the truth and falsehood equal to one another? There's no such thing as the people of the sunnah hanging with the people of bid'ah. If you see a person hanging with the people of bid'ah, hanging with the people of Ahlul Ahwa, then know that they're from among them. If you see the people hang with them, know that they're from among them. Because the people of the sunnah, they hang out with the people of the sunnah wherever they are. And you see this, just as one of the brothers was asking me the other day, I'm moving to Atlanta, who should I go to? I said, when you go there, look for the people on the sunnah and then be with them. Because we should be with the people of the sunnah wherever we go. And you can see the people of the sunnah because they have their characteristics. They have their characteristics everywhere in the world, and it's the same characteristics. مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمِ وَأَصْحَابِي. Just as the Prophet ﷺ says, what I am upon today and my companions. This is what you see the people of the sunnah upon wherever you go. When you walk into the masjid, you'll see from the salat of the people that they're on the sunnah. Because their salat is the salat of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. You'll see that their character is the character of al-Islam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perfect our character. Ayyub also says, rahimahullah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتَمَنَّوْنَ مَوْتَ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Indeed, the people who hope for the death of Ahlul Sunnah, they want to put out the light of Allah with their mouths. They want to put out the light of Allah with their mouths. Ibn Awf, rahimahullah, he says, ثَلَاثٌ أحبهن لنفسي ولأصحابي قراءة القرآن والسنة. ورجل أقبل على نفسه ولها عن الناس إلا من خير. He says there are three things I love for myself and I love for my companions: to read the Quran and the Sunnah. And a man that will do hard with himself, and he won't be any way with the people except good. You know, the person, he's working hard to perfect himself, but when he comes to the people, you don't find him criticizing everyone else. He's always trying to criticize and to work on himself, as opposed to the people. When he comes to them, he just comes to the people in the best manner, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The last statement, inshallah ta'ala, is the statement of... No, we'll make this the next to the last statement. The statement of Sa'id ibn Jubayr, rahimahullah, he says, لا يقبل قول إلا بعمل ولا يقبل قول وعمل إلا بنية ولا يقبل قول وعمل ونية إلا بموافقة السنة. Sa'id ibn Jubayr, rahimahullah, he says that no statement will be accepted except that it has actions to go along with it. And no statement and action will be accepted except that it has correct intentions with it. And that no statement and action and intentions will be accepted until it agrees with the Sunnah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our statements and our actions and our intentions in accordance with the Sunnah. I will make the last statement, the statement of Al-Hasan Al-Basri rahimahullah, who says, Ya Ahl Sunnah, يا أهل السنة تفرقوا فإنكم من أقل الناس. حسن البصري رحمه الله, he says, O people of the Sunnah, spread out, because indeed you are the fewest of the people. And here حسن البصري رحمه الله, he's encouraging us to do that which we're trying to do right now. When he says, Ya Ahl Sunnah, spread out, because indeed you are the fewest of the people, this da'wah to the Sunnah, we have to let it spread out to the people. Because not many people have this Sunnah. And it's upon the people of the Sunnah to call the rest of the people to the Sunnah. And for this purpose, we're trying to expand to a bigger masjid, so that we can make the call to the Sunnah bigger, so that it can spread out, as Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah is advising, O people of the Sunnah, spread out. Spread this da'wah to the Sunnah to the people, everywhere, because indeed you are the fewest people. And if you look, wallahi, the people of the Sunnah are the fewest. And you see everyone in their groups, each group happily rejoicing in its own program of falsehood, thinking that it's the truth. And the few people hanging on to the Sunnah looking strange among the ghuraba. And this is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied when he said, إِنَّ الدِّينَ بَدَعَ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَأَ فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. Indeed, this deen began strange, and it will return to being strange, so give glad tidings to the strangers, to the ghuraba. Or as some of the ulama interpret this hadith, give jannah to the strangers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the people of the Sunnah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to spread the Sunnah to the people. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let the Sunnah go forth, and not to make us among the people who oppose it. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to keep on our tongues, let the Sunnah go forth, and don't stop it. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك, أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت, أستغفرك وأتوب إليك, والحمد لله. I don't know if there were any questions related to the lecture. We would handle it, and if not, then we encourage ourselves and the brothers and the sisters to encourage themselves and their families and the people that they know to be among the people of the Sunnah, and to call the people to the Sunnah, because we're the fewest people, as Hasan al-Basri is saying. And it's a blessing of Allah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be guided to the sunnah. As that scholar had told us when we were in New York, don't keep saying alhamdulillah. Don't keep saying alhamdulillah. All praise and thanks is to Allah for guiding us to Islam. But add and the sunnah. Alhamdulillah who has guided us to Islam and the sunnah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have guided us to Islam and we could have been in a deviant sect of Muslims. So alhamdulillah. As how many people have we seen in America accept Islam and now they're with the deviants? Akhi, after kufr, you leave kufr and go to deviants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us to Islam and the sunnah, and we ask Allah to increase us in it. Walhamdulillah. Yes. No, the brother is just mentioning that Dawud Adib, he had mentioned that whoever from the people of deviance, if they want to debate and to challenge the sunnah, that the people of the sunnah are ready. But there's been no people to come forth, and I don't think anyone's going to come forth, because who is the man to stand up and fight against the sunnah? This is what the people of deviance do. They go around in their corners, and when they see the people of the sunnah come by, they straighten up. Because they're afraid of the sunnah. Because the sunnah is success. And the sunnah looks good. Walhamdulillah. The sunnah, it looks good over top of bid'ah. If you had the choice to be on bid'ah or sunnah, which one would you choose other than the sunnah? Because the sunnah looks better than bid'ah. So the people of bid'ah and the people of ahwa, they won't stand against the sunnah. Or the people of the sunnah. Because the biggest characteristic of the people of the sunnah is that it's on their tongues, qala Allah, qala Rasulullah, qala Sahaba. All you hear the people of the sunnah saying, Allah said, the Messenger said, the Sahaba said, the ulama said. You hear the people of the sunnah staying away from their own desires. I said, I think it's like this, I feel it's like that. Well, I have such and such a degree. Well, I did this. Well, I did that. And for that, you should listen to me. The people of the sunnah, they just say, qala Allah, qala Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is there anyone to debate against that? No one is going to debate against that. They're going to hang in their corners and talk, but they're not going to come out. Just like the people who were down with Masjid al-Dirar, and there are many people. Many people. But most of the people won't even say it publicly that we're down with that foolishness, because when the people of the sunnah come, they shut up. And this is as one of the deviants. And he's deviant. And I saw him last week at the lecture. And I told him, you called on the phone and you told the people of East Orange, look out. The Sheikh is coming to town and he's going to blast the da'wah to Salafiyah. When the brothers of the sunnah walked into the masjid, you saw the people of deviance shut up. They didn't have nothing to say. They were quiet. And it wasn't good enough for us, astaghfirullah, until I went up to him and said, say something against the sunnah. Say something. We came here to defend the sunnah. And anyone who says something against the sunnah, we want to defend the sunnah. And he said, no, I didn't say it, I didn't say it. And we said, yeah, we know what you're upon. And you better be quiet when the sunnah comes to town. You better be quiet when the sunnah comes to town. And this is what they used to say, as we were mentioning in one of our talks, about Ali ibn al-Madini, the Shaykh of Imam al-Bukhari. And we have mentioned before that Imam al-Bukhari, when he used to sit with Ali ibn al-Madini, he used to sit on his side, taking down notes from the Shaykh, and Bukhari used to look at him in awe. And Bukhari said, I never felt like a useless nobody, except in front of Ali ibn al-Madini. This is the great scholar of Islam. And the people used to say about him, when Ali ibn al-Madini comes to town, the sunnah comes with him. And when he leaves, bid'ah comes back on the scene. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us the people of the sunnah so that we can be like Ali ibn al-Madini. When the brothers of the sunnah come, bid'ah just leaves. Uh-oh, here come the brothers of the sunnah. Then the bid'ah leaves. And then when we leave, then they come back out and practice their bid'ah. And we see them now, alhamdulillah, and maybe some of you seen them in the supermarkets, in the store, ducking in the aisles when they see the brothers coming with the thobes on. You see them, they're afraid to give the salams because they don't even look like a Muslim. And they're on deviance, and they're in a deviant sect. And they know that the whole supermarket is looking at the sunnah, saying there's a man from the people of the sunnah. And when they see the sisters coming in with the jilbabs and the niqabs, they say they are the righteous Muslim sisters. The sisters of the sunnah, don't mess with them. And the sisters with the napkins on their heads, astaghfirullah. And the answer mama handkerchief, astaghfirullah. And as one of the younger brothers was telling me today, the see-through khimars, that when they see the sisters walk in, they feel ashamed. This is the way the people of deviance feel. In the presence of the people of the sunnah, they feel ashamed. If only I could be on the sunnah, and everyone could be on the sunnah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us the people of the sunnah and calling to the sunnah. If that's it, if there was any good, then it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there was any bad, then it's from me and the shaytan. Wa astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illahu walhamdulillah.